is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. The House has voted to hold Attorney General Merrick Garland in contempt of Congress.
On this vote, the yeas are 216, the nays are 207. The resolution is adopted.
Republicans are demanding that he turn over recordings of the special counsel's investigation into President Biden's handling of classified documents. A Justice Department memo, meanwhile, that was obtained by ABC News, says a contempt statute wouldn't apply to Garland. The president is in Italy for the G7 summit. Less than 3 months after a cargo ship rammed into the Francis Scott Key Bridge and caused it to collapse, the port of Baltimore has fully reopened. Delegates to the Southern Baptist Convention have voted to oppose the use of IVF. Consumer prices rose 0.2% from April to May. It was the smallest increase in months. The Fed is leaving interest rates unchanged. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's economy ranks near the bottom in a new study. WalletHub ranks Wisconsin number 40 in the nation. The study points to a low change in the state's gross domestic product and low startup activity. Metrics include business growth and unemployment rates. Wisconsin ranks number 11 in the nation for kids' well-being. That's according to the annual Annie E. Casey Foundation Kids Count Data Book. Wisconsin's child poverty rate is down, but Emily Miota of the group Kids Forward says disparities persist.
Wisconsin remains the worst state in the nation for Black children and families.
Black children in Wisconsin are 29 times more likely to live in high poverty areas, and they're not doing well on reading tests. Absenteeism is a problem, too. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For 1490 The Eagle WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska. A concentrated animal feeding operation near Sparta was fined over $200,000 by the Wisconsin Department of Justice. In a release, the DOJ said that Vilsna Dairy Supply was fined for violating the state's wastewater laws from 2015 to 2023. Prosecutors said that the CAFO allowed a permit for pollutant discharge elimination to expire in 2015 and didn't file for a new permit until charges had been brought last year. Vilsna Dairy Supply also built a sand separation system without DNR approval. The western half of Wisconsin has a chance at scattered severe storms today as warmer temperatures arrive across the area. The main threats will be large hail and damaging winds with the potential for isolated tornadoes. Timing of the storms will be generally later in the afternoon and evening with multiple rounds of rain and thunderstorms expected into the evening, according to the National Weather Service in La Crosse. There's also a potential for heavy rains with the stronger thunderstorms that pass through. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
A close call for the crew. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers held on to beat the Blue Jays. Toronto had held Milwaukee scoreless until the sixth. Then the Blue Jays loaded the bases with no outs, scored three runs until closer Trevor McGill came in to shut them down in the top of the ninth. Val Guerrero at bat. Jeff Levering with the call on Bally Sports.
Fly ball center field. Perkins back. He is there and the ball. McGill, the fireman the Brewers needed on this Wednesday afternoon, and they hang on to a 5-4 win.
So the crew wins the series 2-1. Up next, they host the Reds Friday night. NFL here at the Packers minicamp. I asked linebacker Preston Smith if the new defensive coordinator, Jeff Hafley, lives up to his reputation as being a detail-oriented coach.
Yes, this is definitely fine detailing. Everybody has a role and everybody has a responsibility. Nobody gets a pass in no way or shape or form. I mean, you kind of know the responsibility in the run game and the pass for everybody.
That's Preston Smith with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Scattered showers and thunderstorms this evening. Some could be severe with large hail, damaging wind gusts, and an isolated tornado. Partly cloudy and a low in the mid-60s overnight. Sunshine and low 80s tomorrow with a slight storm chance. Mostly sunny Friday, highs near 80. More rain possible this weekend. Currently, it's 66.
It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We're hooking you up with Wisconsin Dells prize packs, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, plus the chance to win a summer getaway to Door County, Lake Geneva, or a lake house vacation. Download the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. Find your station and get set to text for your chance to win in this statewide contest. It's your shot to win with Scotty Summer on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Small business owners, we know finishing your to-do list can feel like climbing a mountain, but that mountain is also covered in banana peels. Then, when something new gets added to your list, you're like, nope, I'm already climbing this huge, super slippery banana peel mountain of a to-do list. At Progressive, we don't want to make your day any harder. That's why we make it easy to manage your policy on our mobile app, so climbing that banana peel mountain feels more like a leisurely stroll. See if you can save on commercial auto insurance in as little as 7 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Coverage subject to policy terms and conditions.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, Matt Rothschild will be taking over the mic. He's covering day 9 of Joe Biden's top 100 topic, school vouchers.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. Eagle, 1490 AM.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Oh, yes, it is Wednesday night, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, live from the Minocqua Brewing Tap Room. Everybody's there, and Johnny, you know why it's live? Because Busted Pencils is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who sued the state of Wisconsin to end its parasitic voucher system that hurts public schools. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer.
Wow, you can hear it. You can hear it, Tim. You can hear it echoing through the Minocqua Brewing Company because we're connected to them there. So this is a live show, folks. If you want to join us, 855-752-4842. Give us a call or head down to the Minocqua Brewing Company Tap House and join the crew there. How's it going, Kurt and company?
Oh, man. I'm excited to see you guys again. We have got a wild, I mean, you can only do this in like 2024. We got three of us here in the tap room. We got you like what in like Washington, and we got Tim in Ohio, and we're all here, and we've got a room full of educators, and I can't wait to talk about how we can get more volunteers and more people tuned into what the teachers union's doing here and what the Democratic Party's doing in here to get people volunteered to do the work to get Biden elected in 2024.
Let's do it. It is. It's a Busted Pencils night, and sitting right with you, though, Wisconsin Public Education Network Director Heather Bornain. Heather, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having us.
So what's WPEN been up to, Heather?
We've been super busy getting ready to get everybody out to vote for public education champions this fall and to know what's on their ballot from August to November, because there are a lot of things we need to vote for. Everything from constitutional amendments that are going to chip away at our rights to elect leaders that well represent us, to school referenda that will determine whether or not our kids have what they need to succeed. And that's not even mentioning all of the candidates who are out there, and you've got to take a careful look at where they stand on education issues and make sure you're making a smart choice in November.
Will Wisconsin, WPEN be putting out a guide to kind of help people make those decisions?
We're a 501c3, so okay. We don't endorse candidates. We just help people get the tools to know how to center education issues when they're going to the ballot box and let people know what's at stake before they vote. So that's the role that we play. We also are having our big summer summit, July 30 to 31, here in Madison at La Follette High School. And we hope people will come join us for that so they can meet other people who are ready to get organized where they live to stand up for public schools. We're doing a lot of work around those referenda. And those school referenda are just as important as anything else on your ballot. So if you don't know what you're voting for, go to wisconsinnetwork.org and hook up with us, and we can help you better understand what's at stake for local kids.
Thank you, Heather. I was going to say, give everybody an opportunity to figure out how do they pitch in and help Wisconsin Public Education Network. So good to see you again. And Julie Underwood. Julie, how are you doing?
I am fine. How are you, Tim?
I am just doing great. So, Julie, you've got a little bit of a issue to talk about here. Something about the conservatives in 25.
The conservative agenda. So okay. Usually you hear me talking about school funding. Usually you hear me talking about school finance or school law. That's not what I want to talk with you about tonight, because it's something that people haven't been talking about, and it's the Project 2025 Heritage Foundation's like road to horribleness. Mm. It is a heinous document which outlines what would happen if the Republicans swept the nation. And actually it's mirrored in almost every state as well in the state agendas.
Which is really why to have the show and get the register to vote out there, because Julie, what you're pointing out, let's talk a little bit more about this Project 25, because the reality is that you said this isn't a wish list. This has been presented as if we win, we're doing this.
Absolutely. It's if we win, we are going to do this. And it is about a 1,000-page document that you could buy, you could download if you want to, but I don't think you would ever sleep again, ever in your life. And I just read the education section because I was asked to read the education section and summarize it. Oh my God, I can say that, right?
Yes, you can say
that. Oh my God, I because we still have free speech in this country, right? That's true. So I just can't believe it is an outline. It is a blueprint for destroying public education. And that's just the section in the Department of Education. The judiciary section is just as horrifying. The healthcare one is just as horrifying. But if you want to talk about that now, we can certainly go into some of the details.
Yeah, absolutely. And Johnny, good guidance right there, a little hand raising to help us get through this. Johnny, have you seen any of the Project 25?
2025. It's like 2025.
Is that it? Well, yeah, Tim, I think it's important to know, the plans of those running for president and those running in elections. And I think it's really important, especially for education, since we're focusing on public education, that we take a really close focus on local elections. I mean, presidential elections are really important. So we got those on one hand, but we have to work with both the left and the right hand. And the right hand, I don't know about you, Tim, but I throw a harder right hand hook than I do a left. And for education, state elections make all the difference in the world. Both elections are important. You got to have a left hook and a right. But my right packs a harder punch. And for education, state elections pack a much harder punch. And we have to really, really get together and make sure state elections support public education. We know the outcome of a federal policy. We know the kinds of things that Biden has provided. We know the plan for Project 2025. But where we have a lot of power is at state and local elections. And we have to, you have to have a right and a left. But I think that's really important as we rally and we get all the support we can behind local organizing for Democratic election in the fall.
Johnny, I agree with you generally, but this Project 2025 would dismantle public education throughout the United States. And one of the ways to do things across the state is to do it federally. And the whole purpose here is to dismantle every piece of legislation, every Department of Education regulation that supports public education and provides rights for kids within public schools. All of that would be dismantled. And that isn't just a left, what did you say, a left jab?
Well,
this is like pulling the rug out from underneath people, not just boxing.
It sure is. It sure is pulling the rug out from underneath them. But remember, education is a state right. So states have the right to say, you know what, this is awful policy for our public schools, and we are not going to, follow Project 2025 as it adheres to that. It will be tough. I agree with you. Like, it's not an ideal situation. It's a counter.
But we're not going to get there because tonight we are going to register so many Democrats that are going to vote for Biden that we're not even worried about it. Right, Kirk?
We are. We are. I'm happy to talk about, you know, what we want to do in Wisconsin and even in Madison, because it's crazy how important Madison is to the state of Wisconsin. Do you want to do that, or you want to wait for a break?
Well, we still have some time. I just, with Julie, you know, to talk about that. You said you usually talk about vouchers, and I would say with Project 2025, there's a national voucher, right?
Absolutely, there's a national voucher, and if I can just read you some of the highlights, and I have to actually use their words because the rhetoric is incredible. I mean, they would make you think that day was night the way they're doing this. So one of the planks there is to privatize education. And of course, they call that not even choice anymore. It's education freedom.
Mm.
Okay, so, and that would be a voucher in every backpack across the United States. The other is to end federal intervention, which means repealing all of the legislation about discrimination requiring students with English language learners. I mean, all of that kind of stuff repealed. The anti-discrimination stuff repealed.
Mm.
And so they're basically, another third plank is promoting discrimination and inequality on the basis of race and gender and sexual orientation.
Yeah.
And they've talked about it in terms of ending the spread of critical race theory.
Mm.
I call it hate and anti-everything.
I said you really want to get that.
Can I do one more thing?
Sure.
They also, one of their basic planks is to rescind the NEA's congressional charter, which would basically hobble the NEA and all of our local unions.
Right. Well, and we say, so that's what we're talking about here. Yes, it's national, state. Any attack on public education, whether it's coming at the federal level or the state level, we need to actually call everybody to attention to know that. And again, Heather, Wisconsin Public Education Network, we know that that's what you guys are, you know, you're doing to make sure that people have the information. If you're a public school voter, you want to get that information, you need to know, call Heather, go to the Wisconsin Public Education Network, because they're the people. Heather, you got about a minute if you want to give a little WPEN talk.
Yeah, if you're scared about what Julie is saying here,
as you
know that it's true. Those who wish to see public education totally dismantled and destroyed are now saying the quiet part out loud. The stuff that we've been accused of saying was, you know, conspiracy or too crazy to be true is right here in writing. You can read it for yourself what this regressive agenda is. It would do actual harm in real time to every single kid in every single public school in this nation. And so if you're interested in fighting back against these kind of agendas, you need to stand up regardless of what political party you belong to and to demand better of those who you elect to lead you. Just say, this is not what I want for local kids. What I want is thriving public schools that give every single kid an equal opportunity to thrive. I want to see schools where teachers feel safe and valued and honored as the professionals that they are. I want to feel like my kids belong, my family belongs, and this community is positioned to thrive for me. And if you want that, connect with us, Wisconsin Public Education Network, and be part of the growing movement to fight back against this and do better.
Oh my goodness. What a great way to come out of that first segment. Wisconsin Public Education Network, Busted Pencils, Minocqua Brewing Company, live from the tap room in Madison. Yeah, and when we get back, Kirk, it's going to be your stage. Kirk coming back right after the commercial.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Do you have a loved one in a nursing home? California mega millionaire Eric Hovde has some bad news for you. He doesn't think they have long to live. It's true. In a recent interview, Hovde said, if you're in a nursing home, you only have a 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is at a point to vote. That's shocking. But it gets worse. One of Hovde's companies is named a co-defendant in a wrongful death suit from an incident at a California senior living facility. He even referred to himself as an expert in the nursing home business. Yikes, that doesn't sound like the kind of expert we need. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him that Wisconsin seniors deserve to vote and get the care they deserve. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Escaping the American attraction.
The American attraction, Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded, Minocqua Brewing Company, Tap Room, Madison, Wisconsin Public Education Network, live, remote. I think we're a triple, maybe even four remotes, because we got the remote out of Waukesha standpoint, though. So, Kirk, how'd you put this together, man? Tell me more about this vision of what you got going on here.
Well, first of all, you know, I connected with Julie and with Heather a long time ago when I started asking publicly what could our super PAC do to help Wisconsin after we helped get Tony Evers elected and we helped Janet Protasiewicz and we flipped the Supreme Court, which is what we were involved with. And to me, public education was something that I wanted to look at and focus on, and Julie said, let's if you want to spend some money with your super PAC, let's try to get the public school voucher. So that was what got me into the education kind of world. But since we opened this new tap room, I've started talking to the Democratic Party and I've started talking to other progressive groups, and we are in an actual neighborhood in Madison whose turnout is not nearly as good as other parts of Madison. And let me just tell you a little bit. Like, so America depends on Wisconsin to go blue, or else we lose America. And Wisconsin depends on Dane County to turn us blue. I think the statistics were 16% of every single Democratic vote came from Dane County in the entire state. Biden only won by 20,000 votes. Dane County's turnout rate for people who were registered to vote was 89%, which is unheard of across the entire country. So our turnout rate, but my neighborhood, where our new tap room is, the Darbo-Worthington neighborhood, is only 62%. Because we are a very depressed neighborhood. I did that on purpose. I used to live in Brooklyn in the far off lands when I was a starving artist, and I lived in a neighborhood that wasn't so hot. And the first couple things that made the neighborhood less scary were brew pubs, and places that you could go and have a beer. And so I'm comfortable in a neighborhood that's not the best neighborhood in Madison. And I actually wanted to open my place here. And so once I discovered that this neighborhood, the Darbo-Worthington neighborhood, was kind of, you know, not as organized, to get the vote out as other neighborhoods in Madison, I was like, let's figure it out. And guess what, guys? If you're a teacher in Madison and, you know, the home values are skyrocketing here, if you're a teacher in Madison, you're not making a ton of money because, unfortunately, we don't pay teachers enough. And so I got a hunch, and I've never done the research, I got a feeling there's a bunch of educators in this area and in, like, these wards. Mm. And so that was my goal. That's why, we're gonna do a show every month, but my goal for this month is to try to help both the teachers' union and the Democratic Party find educators in this neighborhood that are willing to work and volunteer and help Biden win in November.
Nice, Nice summary there. So that's what we're doing. So in the neighborhood, trying to get the vote out. If you're listening right now, you're going, what are they talking? It sounds like they're coming like a remote broadcast. We are. People down at the Minocqua Brewing Company tap room down in Madison right now, go down there and check it out, man. Grab a beer, you know, register to vote.
We got a bunch of educators that are drinking beers that are sitting in the audience right now who, you know, hopefully we're spreading the word. So,
Johnny, I remember when you and I were there, what a great atmosphere to have these conversations with. And, you know, thinking about is we're able to look out the whole idea of being surrounded by teachers. Wishing I could be there again. I'm sure you could. You do, too.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's always great when you can get together and have discussion and dialogue about what our neighborhoods, what our community needs. So great, great work having that space there. Awesome. Teachers, I want to just thank you for being educators or people there who are supporting public education, because as you know, it is really important work, not only because you're teaching children to be the future citizens of our community, but because it is the very fabric of our democracy, right? Which we are all kind of converging. We'll all disagree on different things here, but one of the things we all converge on, right, is the importance of a strong democracy and that the threat for that democracy is very real. Right. We're at a moment in our country's like contemporary history, the right now, where democracy is on life support. Right. It is. We are in a fight for democracy, for the very freedoms and the very things that we hold dear, no matter what party we identify in. Right. We ought to hold those values dear. And we need our public education system in order to not only ensure it, strengthen it, but save it. And I hate to say that because it shouldn't be a case where in 2024 we're saying, how do we save democracy? But it is really in dire need of that kind of support.
Kirk.
So in this next few minutes, I wanted to go through I've talked to the Democratic Party, and there's a few things in this area that they're doing that I want to invite. I mean, so the wonderful thing about your guys' show is that not only are you, you are throughout the entire state of Wisconsin. Thank God for the Civic Media Network. I thank a lot of the folks who brought it up, and thank God that you guys are doing a show every day. And so your program is being broadcast throughout the entire state of Wisconsin. And a lot of educators, I believe, are probably listening to this show. So the first thing is what I want to do is say, I mean, we're talking about Madison today, but for anybody listening who's an educator throughout the entire state of Wisconsin, you need to, you know, if you're in Milwaukee, go to the Milwaukee School Teachers Union. If you're here, go to MTI, and we're going to call up Mike Jones, who's going to talk in the next segment about what you can do to get involved with the teachers union. But for WEAC, there's something going on throughout the entire state, and that's the teachers union. And there's also Democratic Party in every single county. And so if any educators listening to this show, please just get tuned in your county party or with your local union and figure out what they're doing. But what specifically the folks in Madison are doing and the Darbo-Worthington Democratic Party organizing is happening. The team here, they're called team. Believe it or not, I come from Minocqua, and they don't have teams in Oneida County. They got one party. But it's so organized in Madison that there's teams in every neighborhood, and it's so beautiful to watch. But the team here in this neighborhood is called the Northeast Democrats. You know, there's Team Gold, there's Team Capital probably, but this is what they call the Northeast Democrats, and we have an organizer here in the room. We have the head of the neighborhood. We have Jonathan, what's your name? Sarah, who's the head of the team that are here today, and they're looking for help. One of the things they're doing, they have a team launch on Saturday at 2 p.m. This Saturday at 2 p.m., what's the place? Java Cat Coffee House. You should have the rest of them here. And Java Cat Coffee House. And then you can always find more information on this social media app called Mobilize, which a lot of the Democratic Party stuff is doing. They have a weekend of action, which is coming up on June 29th and 30th, and they will be launching canvases throughout the day on both days. So if you want to get involved, simply go to the wisdem.org, and you can figure out how to volunteer in this neighborhood or wherever you live.
Nice. Busted Pencils live from Minocqua Brewing Tap Room. When we get back, Michael Jones, MTI. Yeah.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Donald Trump will visit Racine next week. The presumptive Republican nominee for president was last in Wisconsin in May for a rally in Waukesha. It's Trump's first visit to Wisconsin since being convicted on 34 felony counts in a hush money trial. Trump and President Biden were in a virtual tie in the last Marquette.
Welcome to this exclusive live broadcast of the 3rd Congressional District Forum featuring the Democratic primary candidates.
This special programming is presented by Civic Media on these local stations. WLCX, The Eagle, 1490 AM in La Crosse. The Tap, 93.5 FM, Chippewa Falls. WRCE News from the Center, 107.7 FM, 1450 AM, Richland Center.
The third of four forums is being held at the UW-Platteville Allspick Hall. Your moderator tonight is James Schneider, CLA Board President, University of Wisconsin-Madison, Division of Extension, Grant County Community Development Educator. Now, let's go live to UW-Platteville and moderator James Schneider.
Hi, my name is James Schneider. I'm with UW Extension, and I'm a lifetime Democrat who has only voted a straight party ticket once in his life. So I am open to different thoughts, different ideas, and I hope you are as well. Tonight, we are honored to have three candidates for the 3rd Congressional District running in the Democratic primary. All three bring very unique perspectives to their race for this office. And we're hoping that you will walk away tonight feeling much more comfortable with each of the three candidates and find one that you really feel strongly about. And then you get out and do the tough stuff. Showing up tonight is easy, but it's showing up to vote and making sure that other people are along there with you is what is important. I would remind you all that this is a forum, not a debate, and we will conduct ourselves accordingly. I do have some guidelines just so you all understand how we're doing this. What we're going to start with after the brief introductions is going to, each of the candidates will have a two-minute opening, statement at the beginning of the forum, and each of the candidates at the end of the forum will be doing the same as well, have a two-minute closing. We have already selected the order that the candidates will go in. When we deal with the questions that we have prepared in advance for them, we will be alternating the opportunities that they have to respond. These forums are being broadcast and live streamed by Civic Media. We very much appreciate this. And also at 7 o'clock and 7:30 exactly, we will be taking a station break so they can identify themselves as they legally are required to do so. Candidates will have, when we get to the questions, candidates will have 90 seconds per question, and candidates will have a 30-second rebuttal, but only if directly named by another candidate. I do reserve the right to ask some additional questions if it's appropriate for the topic. We have a stopwatch and a timekeeper here to keep people on time. And these questions have been vetted, and also we have some that are from the local Democratic Party as well, if time permits. The three candidates that we have before us here tonight, our first is Rebecca Cook. And Rebecca bills herself, and I'm not making this up. I'm stealing this directly from their websites, so you can check to make sure I did all of this correctly. But she would call herself a small business owner and a nonprofit leader. She has a long tradition of Wisconsin farmers in her family and who values service and hard work. Rebecca worked her way through college and with the help of Pell Grants. Rebecca is running for Congress to better serve communities across Wisconsin, put people first, and provide more opportunities for success, and will be a relentless fighter for our way of life. That's what her website says. I'm betting she's going to say the same. But the most important question is, does she have a pet? And as I was going through the websites, I found that she did not have anything listed, so I asked that question. The good news is, and you can't be here without a pet, the good news is that she has a cat named Charlie and is a graduate from St. Thomas University. Our second candidate is Katrina Shankland. Katrina is a lifelong Wisconsinite and raised by public school teachers. Katrina is a graduate of UW-Stevens Point, both her and her husband. Jed, they live in the Stevens Point area, and they have two dogs, Stitch and Lyra. Am I saying that right, yeah. Lyra? Has that got that correct? Okay. And it's a long list of, she's currently in the Wisconsin State Assembly. So you may have heard of her before and has a long list of accomplishments as a state assemblyman. Her goal is to bring common sense to the Capitol and deliver results for Wisconsin. I especially like the common sense to the Capitol. We all hope to see more of that from all candidates. Our third candidate is Eric Wilson. Eric lives in Eau Claire.
Also waitress 3 nights a week while I'm running for Congress 7 days a week. And you don't see a lot of people like me in DC. You see a lot of career politicians and elitists who are out of touch and radicals who want to hijack our government. Like Derek Van Orden, who is more focused on climbing the political ladder than he is for serving his constituents. He's a bully. He yells at Senate pages, he reduces librarians to tears, he lacks the temperament to serve in Congress and does not exemplify our Wisconsin values. We need someone who's going to reinstill our faith in democracy. And that's why I'm running. We deserve a representative in Congress who is a doer, someone who's going to roll up their sleeves to get things done and not start a fist fight. In addition to his decorum, his policies don't match our values. He advocates for big ag that puts small farms like mine out of business. And he's at one point called for a nationwide abortion ban. In Congress, I'm going to deliver on kitchen table issues like increasing access to affordable quality health care, taking on monopolies that are price gouging consumers at the gas pump and the grocery store, and defending reproductive freedoms. Politicians should not be meddling in our personal health care decisions, and I'm looking forward to working with you to deliver for people from all across the region to restore sensible leadership to the third CD.
Please give her a hand. And welcome to Southwest Wisconsin. Our next candidate to introduce herself and with her two-minute opening statement is Katrina Shankland.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. Hi, everybody. I'm Katrina Shankland, and I am running for Congress to oust radical Derek Van Orden, stand up to right-wing extremism, protect our democracy, and restore common sense to Congress. In the state legislature, I passed 225 bills that I co-authored and co-sponsored into law, and I did that by working with anyone and everyone who is serious about solving problems. delivering solutions for the things that keep the people of Wisconsin up at night, from expanding access to rural health care, to cracking down on prescription drug prices, to delivering for farmers on issues like conservation and water quality. I know what it takes to get things done in Congress because I've already done it in our state capitol. In Congress, I'm going to help pass laws to protect women's freedoms to make their own decisions on abortion and stop the national Republican abortion ban. I'll also work to pass laws that protect our democracy and stop attacks on our elections from right-wing extremism. And I'll work to grow our middle class and unions, because big corporations don't need another shill for them in DC. I'll be on your side, the side of working families and seniors. There's a reason why my campaign has so much momentum. I've been endorsed by 15 labor unions, including the statewide AFL-CIO, because they know I'm the candidate who can beat radical Derek Van Orden in November. Do you know why they know that? Because I've done it before, winning consistently in a purple assembly district, including outperforming the top of the ticket. And in 2022, I was the Democratic candidate in my district who got the most votes. That's what it's going to take to flip a district that Donald Trump won. To flip a district from red to blue, we need a battle-tested and proven candidate who's delivered for us with bills signed into law, solving problems, but who's also won tough elections. So that's exactly why I'm running. If you send me to Congress, I'll have the experience to get things done and the Wisconsin values that you can trust. I'm Katrina Shanklin, and I'm asking for your vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Katrina, and welcome to southwestern Wisconsin and Grant County. We very much appreciate your being here. Our third candidate, and giving his opening statement, is Mr. Eric Wilson.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Eric Wilson. I am fighting to be the progressive champion. We need to turn out the voters to beat Derek Van Orden. I graduated from UW-Madison with an economics degree and have a professional experience background in IT, healthcare, and housing. I am uniquely qualified to take on the challenges not only of today, but of the future. I want to take my opening statement time to talk about a topic that isn't on the list tonight. That topic is healthcare. We Democrats have been fighting for universal healthcare for over 50 years. And I'm the only one in this race advocating for Medicare for all. When are we going to accomplish that? I stand with Tammy Baldwin, I stand with Bernie Sanders, and I am unequivocally fighting for Medicare for all. Every person should have access to healthcare. I want you to ask yourselves, who doesn't deserve healthcare? If you don't think we should do Medicare for all, what healthcare system are we going to have that covers everyone? Our for-profit healthcare system has put the world's wealthiest nation into a sick care program rather than real, actual healthcare. And by the way, real, actual healthcare covers mental health, covers vision, and covers dental, and gets rid of Medicare Advantage plans, which actually are just a detriment to people. Let's have a system that focuses on health, not the bottom line. Let's have a system that focuses on people over profits. I'm excited to share my progressive vision with you tonight, and thank you for having me.
Thank you, Eric. Again, we appreciate your joining us here tonight and your efforts to run for this office. The questions that we'll be asking, all of our candidates have seen in advance. So they've had an opportunity to prepare. Each candidate will have 90 seconds to respond to the question. And again, individuals, other candidates, if named directly, will have a 30-second opportunity to respond to that as well. So the first question that we have for this evening, and these questions, by the way, will be somewhat general in nature, so please bear with us on that. But how do you plan to address environmental disparities and ensure that all communities have access to clean air, water, and green spaces? And I'll start with Katrina, if I may.
Thank you so much for this great question. In my time in the legislature, I've served 12 years on either the Natural Resources or Environment Committees. I have championed clean air, water, and access to bountiful public lands and a healthy climate. In fact, I currently serve as the only state legislator on the Governor's Green Ribbon Commission, directing a new state environmental fund to marshal resources specifically to protect our air and water and public lands. And that's something that I'll do in Congress as well. I know that our Knowles Nelson Stewardship Program is one of the best programs available to protect our green spaces, and I want to champion access to public lands and funding for it on the federal level too. Just as I've been a statewide leader on clean drinking water, I championed 10 bipartisan bills that I passed through the state assembly, the majority of which we passed through both houses in the legislature to clean up our drinking water from both PFAS and nitrate as well as bacteria. I also worked with Governor Evers and the DNR to develop and launch a $10 million well compensation grant program in Wisconsin, so anyone with a household income of 100K or below with a contaminated well could get access to clean drinking water from their taps without having to pay. And I think that that's important because we need experience to deliver results in Congress. In Congress, I'm going to champion the Mississippi River Restoration Initiative, a farm bill that includes more conservation initiatives and funding, and I'm going to expand the progress that Democrats made on the Inflation Reduction Act to make those incentives for middle-class families even more accessible to working-class folks as well.
All right. In the interest of time, I will not be repeating the question, if that's all right for our candidates here, since I've seen these in advance. Eric, your chance, 90 seconds, your response to that first question.
Yes. I am for the Green New Deal and ending fracking. If we don't have a livable world, the rest of it doesn't really matter. We need to be way more aggressive on climate action and integration. Look, Wisconsin is a climate refugee state, and we are not ready. We will see an influx of people. What that means is we need to continue to build out our infrastructure, protect our water, and make sure that Wisconsinites are actually able to afford living in Wisconsin. It's expanding our solar and wind programs for our farms and small businesses, which allows them to have lower operating costs and use those resources for expanding in other things. It means expanding and protecting our electric grids to deal with the impacts of increased temperatures and the usage of electric vehicles. We have the most beautiful congressional district in the state and the nation. When you're driving through, it's truly a beauty. We need to protect that, not only for our generations now, but for future generations so they can enjoy it too. It means protecting our water and not allowing other areas to be piping water out of Wisconsin or through Wisconsin. Green jobs are good paying jobs. I will make sure that the jobs that we continue to build are good paying union jobs as well. What it comes down to is we need to be more aggressive in protecting our climate action.
I will ask you to
protecting
last
Earth.
Words. I'm going to try very hard to keep us on time here. So when he says time, it means time. Our next candidate to address that question is Rebecca.
Yes, well, I think Western Wisconsin is also one of the most beautiful districts in the country, and it's also a bit of a kept secret. And we have to do all that we can to preserve it. And when I think about the environment, I like to think about it in the way I think about politics and locally. In particular, in the 3rd Congressional District, we have a lot of water quality issues with PFAS and contaminating well waters both in La Crosse and Eau Claire and a lot of small municipalities all throughout the 3rd. And we're going to need federal dollars to really address that issue, calling for more research, calling for more testing and remediation. I'm very much in agreement of weaning ourselves off of fossil fuels, but we need to be working with local rural electric cooperatives and balancing keeping our grid reliable while also working to meet administration goals. And I'm interested in things like hydro energy, fusion energy, small modular nuclear that have real potential in a district like ours, and I support really an all of the above approach. Derek Van Orden is a part of the far-right radical faction of Congress that really doesn't believe in science and puts the dollars of big polluters above conservation.
Thank you. Our next question, and again to all three candidates, and I'll be starting with you, Eric. These questions are not controversial at all. We're not getting in, and I understand our candidates when they try to go over 90 seconds. They definitely have passionate ideas, strong ideas on each of these, and I certainly understand that. The second question is, how would you protect a woman's right to make any and all medical decisions for herself without government interference. How would you protect a woman's access to birth control? Eric?
I am in support of unrestricted abortion access. I don't think that government should be making decisions for women, and I will do everything that I can to not only codify Roe v. Wade back into law, but make sure we're going the next step and that you have access to contraception, that you have access to be able to make the decisions for yourself. It's pretty simple.
All right. Our next candidate to address that topic, Rebecca.
So I was running for U.S. Congress last cycle when Roe v. Wade was overturned, and we didn't stand by idly. We got to work, and I helped to organize a rally in Eau Claire, and we've got to keep our voices turned up on this issue. I don't think that it's my position as a government official to be in a doctor's office making decisions for you and your family. And when I'm talking through with people throughout the 3rd Congressional District, protecting reproductive freedoms is really at the top of their list. And when I get into Congress, codifying Roe v. Wade back into federal law is a top priority of mine. It should be for every Democrat that's running in this country. And I know you're hearing from a lot of folks on this issue. But it is so critical. And I think we've really got to be on offense here, because the far right is not stopping just with abortion access. They're coming for birth control, they're coming for IVF, and so many other important things. And so we are really working this. I was out knocking doors today here in Platteville and talking with voters about this very issue, and people are motivated to get out to vote and get people that are going to defend these types of freedoms in Congress.
I very much would echo, and I'm going to several times during tonight, every time you're talking about getting some people out to vote, having an opinion on something is one thing, but it's going to require people voting to make those differences actually happen. Our third candidate to address this is Katrina.
Radical Derek Van Orden wants to take away women's freedoms to make their own medical decisions on abortion. In Congress, I will fight tirelessly to protect women's reproductive freedoms and expand them. And I have the experience to make sure that codifying Roe v. Wade into law will be a priority when we flip the House. I've also been a co-author of the Abortion Rights Preservation Act in Wisconsin, which would repeal Wisconsin's 1849 criminal abortion ban, and I also have 100% voting record on the side of reproductive freedom and birth control over 12 years. So while Derek Van Orden supports a personhood amendment, he told Pro-Life Wisconsin in his endorsement interview that he supported it, which puts IVF at risk. I've co-authored legislation to require insurance companies to actually cover fertility treatments, and I was the lead author on legislation for the last decade to expand access to birth control so that anyone can get it at the pharmacy for 12 months of contraception. So that record, that experience, is what's going to help me fight for all of you to expand our reproductive freedoms and to stand up to the radicals in Congress who want to enact a national abortion ban, some of whom even support a personhood amendment, like Derek Van Orden, who told Pro-Life Wisconsin when he got their endorsement without qualification, which means he didn't just support personhood and threatens IVF, he also supported no exceptions to abortion. We need a leader with experience in Congress to expand our reproductive freedoms, and that's me.
Thank you. I will remind everyone that we have to take a station break exactly at 7 o'clock, so if we're in the middle of a question, and I may take a break so that we have the opportunity, but you will all get your full 90 seconds. This third question is certainly hits home in Wisconsin's dairyland. The milk support price based on classes of milk does not provide a fair support price for dairy farmers in Wisconsin. What would be your proposal to change this and to create a system that does work for our dairy farmers? And I'm going to start with Rebecca on this.
Great. Well, I can speak to this because I'm the only person in this race who grew up on a dairy farm. Career politicians in D.C. are trying to make decisions about our lives without understanding the real challenges that family farmers face. Living on a hobby farm is not enough. The farm bill, I believe, should be written by farmers. Farmers know that because of the unique qualities of milk, dairy farmers are prone to lack bargaining power in the marketplace. And we really deserve a farm bill that delivers for small and mid-sized farms, that not includes another handout to egg conglomerates, and we have to do better.
Thank you. Katrina, your response, please.
We've lost 10,000 dairy farms in the last 20 years in Wisconsin, and I can tell you personally, as somebody who represents Portage County, I have seen multiple friends who are dairy farmers shut their doors in the last few months and years. And it's because of the price of milk and how difficult it is to make a profit. So I support a farmer-led, farmer-centered plan to ensure fair pay for our dairy farmers. We need to have farmer-led councils across the district who are helping us enact policy change through the Farm Bill. So whether it's talking about the federal milk marketing order, from making allowances to differentials, to working on ensuring that we're expanding the dairy margin coverage program, which it looks like this current Farm Bill has through 2029, but we want to make sure it gets enacted. I also think we can provide transparency in milk price reporting, fully fund the school milk program and the special milk programs, and mitigate low prices through the CCC. So as a member of the Agriculture Committee in Wisconsin, I've reached across the aisle to pass bills to help farmers, and I've worked with everyone to do so, including the farmers in my district. That's my pledge to you as your future member of Congress, unlike Derek Van Orden, who introduced an amendment in the House Ag Committee recently to fund the dairy business initiatives, innovation initiatives at $36 million. He withdrew it instead of fighting for the votes for it. That's kind of a coward move for somebody who's our member of Congress, but I can tell you, when it comes to helping dairy farmers with export marketing, with innovation, with diversification, and with the price of milk, I'm going to fight for you every day of the week.
Thank you. 1 second to go there. That was really good. I appreciate the management of time. Eric.
There's an old adage in the dairy industry that only five people in the world know how milk is priced in the U.S. Four are dead. Milk pricing regulation in the U.S. is one of the most complicated commodity pricing regimes across all agriculture. We need to simplify it. That's just the reality. Farmers need to be getting paid what they deserve and not the processors. And so in current state, you can't give direct payment to farmers. We need to look at that. These regulations and pricing structures have not been updated in decades. We are far beyond that. And to save our rural farms, that's what we need to look at changing so that they are actually getting the money that they deserve. How we do that is we start integrating new technologies as well. If we were to look at blockchain, for example, farmers could get paid daily for the milk that they are producing. Now let's talk about game changing. That frees up tons of resources for them to make decisions on a daily basis on what is best for them. It allows them to buy the resource or buy the things that they need. And so it's changing the pricing structure and implementing the new technologies that we have. That's how we fix the milk pricing.
Thank you, Eric. And now for just a question of the audience. How many people here were raised on a farm, dairy or otherwise? Okay, a strong agricultural contingent, myself included. I was raised on a dairy farm outside of Rock Springs. When my father died in 1970, we were milking 66 cows, which was a big farm back then. My, how things have changed. And of course, when it came to pricing of milk, it was all based on how far you were from Eau Claire. And some of us remember those days, not necessarily fondly. I believe we're just about at the time to take our station break. Is
two more minutes.
I have 2 more minutes? Oh, that's a little scary. That is very scary. I'm trying to think in terms of what would be an appropriate quick question. Quick question for each of you, 15, 20 seconds. What do you see as the biggest obstacle or threat to farms right now? And that's not fair to ask you a question like that. I'll go the same order here quickly.
Sure. I think one of our biggest threats right now are foreign nationals that are buying up land throughout the country. I think it's a food security issue and it's a national security issue. We need to be protecting our farmland and not allowing people from other countries to come up and buy our land.
Katrina?
The threat of corporate consolidation and the lack of antitrust enforcement laws from previous administrations is what created the crisis in the first place. It's why so many dairy farmers are out of business. We have to enforce antitrust laws, empower the FTC to crack down on price gouging. If you talk to a single farmer, you hear from them first about the input costs, and we need to empower the federal government to do everything possible to enforce antitrust laws.
Eric.
It's big corporations as well as climate. If we don't start taking drastic actions, crops will continue to fail, animals will continue to die. We will see destruction of our agriculture if we aren't more aggressive in protecting and making sure that small farms are getting the resources that they need and the support they need from insurances, not big corporations.
And again, one of our challenges in dealing with farms is, what is a farm? What's a small farm? What's a large farm? And that certainly has changed in our lifetime. So right now, we're going to take a couple minutes for a station break.